You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Clock on the West Coast. Good morning to you. We've been kind of following the press conference in under the guise of it's better to hear it straight from the horse's mouth than to hear it from some media person whose primary interest is getting you to read the article and maybe not the truth. Is that too harsh on New York City? I mean, New York City. On media people? Yeah. Anyway, I've got a couple of interesting emails about this, so let me get to those. Mac, I think it's hard to convey to people that don't have any sense of it because their life in the United States isn't disturbed other than possibly what they see on TV. I think until it impacts you, most people won't change in terms of what they think. So we will see this repeated. It's simply too easy to do. All you have to have is a willing participant who's ready to go to Allah. Once you have that, I just listened to the timeline. He rented the truck at 2:06. He was killing people at approximately 3 o'clock. How simple was that? Walk in, rent the truck, drive it out, get across a bridge, and start killing people. Maybe that's the way it should be. Maybe we should be slow to change the way we do things in this country. It certainly seems very empty for the people that killed because of it. Here's a thought. How about we only allow Muslim females and Muslim children in? If you're a Muslim male between the ages, if you're between the ages of 15 and 60, you can't come in. So we're not against Islam. We're just against males in a certain age who come from a certain part of the world who practice the Islam faith. Is that bad of me? It probably is. But if you did that, none of these dudes that are doing this shit would be here. Stupid, cowardly, senseless. P.S. My instinct is there'll be a lot of vigilance over the weekend relative to the marathon. Somebody screwing around in New York City is going to get their ass beat. You know what? I would concur with that. All right, let me read you. We'll check some news headlines now. You know, there's just some shit, some Marine Corps shit that is just stupid. This is from the San Diego Union-Tribune. More than 300 recruits at the Marine Corps' San Diego boot camp are suffering from diarrhea symptoms from an bacterial outbreak, officials disclosed on Tuesday, with most of the cases linked to Shiga toxin-producing E. coli bacteria. Physicians are treating 302 patients out of more than 5,500 candidates, should have used the word recruits, undergoing training at Marine Corps Recruit Depot, San Diego. Quote, our immediate focus is identifying isolating and treating recruits who present symptoms, said Brigadier General Bill Journey, commander of both Recruit and Marine Corps Western Recruiting Region, in a written statement. Quote, we are working to identify the cause of the sickness, making sure our affected recruits can return to training as soon as possible and continue training for recruits, not influence. The bacteria was identified in recruits at both the Depot and Edson Range at Camp Pendleton beginning on Wednesday, but the number spiked this last Monday. While investigators are searching for the source of the E. coli, commanders have quarantined sick recruits from those who have yet to display symptoms, blah, 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 blah. Navy Medical Center San Diego's preventative medicine unit also hiked inspections of barracks, dining facilities, and common areas across the depot. An email. Have you seen the people that work at the chow hall at MCRD in San Diego? The Marine Corps decided that no longer food service would be an MOS. So they contracted with the company, and you should see the people that work there. When you drive down there, you see cats running around everywhere, chasing mice and rats. Rats, it's a common theme now. The quality control is not having Marines in the chow hall has drastically reduced. So we got an issue there in Parris Island MCRD in San Diego. Our nastiness continues. All right, Marine Corps Times headlines. Parris Island drill instructor accused of preying on three Muslim recruits. All right, that's one headline. We'll get to that one in a second. And then there's a headline about the Navy collisions. And then there's a story that appears in Marine Corps Times about this entitled Crushed in the Racks Inside the John McCain Disaster that pulls quotes out of the article, out of the investigation, and to convey what happened in the birthing areas. Again, on the McCain, they had a loss of a steering system. You had people that were driving the ship that were incapable, evidently, of coping with the failure and using the backup. And then after that, I mean, but again, this is to me what's crazy about this, okay? What's crazy about it is no collision alarm, no general quarters, right? This is all part of being proficient about going to sea, and this was Captain F's point. In the little interview that he did with, is it Defense One? Maybe, I can't remember. But his point was this. These guys aren't competent relative to these kind of emergency events on the bridge. But I'll bet you my ass that they're competent on sexual harassment. I bet you my ass that they're competent on sexual assault. Now again, I'm not saying that to speak against education in those areas, okay? But his point was this: if that's what you want to be current in, at the expense of other things, then you'll live with this. Otherwise, the Navy has to be able to prioritize its training priorities, and then go from there. His contention is that the Navy has become a social experiment, and combat skills are down the line. No matter what happens on these ships, there's no excuse when that ship is coming for somebody not to sound the collision alarm, for somebody not to go to general quarters. And so to me, I'm going to have to read the whole thing today, and then I'll have more to say about tomorrow, but it's amazing. A couple other headlines. Bo Bergdahl debrief were intelligence goldmine. Next headline is 4,000 U.S. troops in Syria. U.S. Army Major General James B. Girard, commander of the Special Operations Joint Task Force Operation Inherent Resolve, told reporters at a televised press briefing on Tuesday that there were 4,000 U.S. troops in Syria, then quickly walked back his answer. All right, we'll see if we can get that. Maybe we'll play that if we have that. There's got to be some record of it, don't you think? I do. So we'll see if we can track that little press conference down, and so we can play it. All right. Elsewhere, president will not visit the DMZ. That's probably a good call. And here's an interesting thing, because it echoes a McNamara belief. From a North Korean defector, information, not force, can bring change in North Korea. Yeah. That's a McNamara thing. What is going to bring change in the Middle East? The Saudi royal family, their days are numbered. Kuwaiti royal family, their days are numbered. In Jordan, his days are numbered too. Why? Because people want to be free. They want to say. And to the extent they're oppressed in a feudal society, come on. The rest of the world doesn't operate like this. Why are we? And it's not going to take a whole lot. Same thing with the Iranians. Iranians want to, the Iranians like Americans. But their government sure as hell doesn't. Do they want to be at odds with the rest of the world? Can't they live in peace? Evidently not. So at some point, and let me tell you, and the biggest nut to crack, and the nation with the biggest problem is the Chinese. At some point, that thing's going to go boom. It is the march of history. So anyway, that from a Korean defector. The story is an Associated Press story written by Matthew Pennington. Speaking Tuesday at a Washington think tank, hold on. Let me give you this guy's name. North Korean Deputy Ambassador to the United Kingdom, Thay Yong Ho, speaks with media, the Foreign Correspondents Club in Seoul, South Korea. The highest level North Korean defector in two decades says America should bring change peacefully by challenging the totalitarian regime's grip on information rather than resorting to military action. Speaking Tuesday at a Washington think tank, Thay said Kim, who was educated in Switzerland, lacked the respect of North Korean senior leadership after taking power in 2012. With a little-known third son of his predecessor and father, Kim Jong-il. To build his legitimacy, Kim Jong-un championed the rapid progress towards a nuclear-tipped intercontinental ballistic missile that could threaten the United States, which now puts him on a path of confrontation with Donald Trump. They said Kim's weapons development also reflect anxiety after Arab Spring uprisings against authoritarian governments in the Mideast about the possibility of the U.S. and other Western nations mounting a humanitarian intervention bombing campaign as occurred in Libya in 2011 that led to the Muammar Gaddafi ouster. If there are street protests inside North Korea, they said, there is no doubt that Kim Jong-un would stamp it out mercilessly with his forces, even tanks. He said Kim believes that with a nuclear-tipped missile, quote, when he can prevent this kind of humanitarian intervention, unquote. Thay, 55, now lives in South Korea, making his first trip to Washington since his 2016 defection as deputy chief mission of the North Korean embassy in London. He'll address a congressional hearing today. We might have to watch that a little bit tomorrow. That'll be interesting, huh? He said he supports the Trump administration policy of exerting maximum pressure on Pyongyang, but said it should be coupled with maximum engagement of North Korea's leadership and an effort to end the isolation of the 24 million people that live in North Korea. I strongly believe in the use of soft power before taking any military actions, said they. North Korea has called Thay human scum and accused him of embezzling government money and committing other crimes. Addressing an audience of 200 with confidence and smiles, Thay on Tuesday said the North Korean system can only endure through a reign of terror by preventing outside information from getting in. He said increasingly it is difficult. He said that task is increasingly difficult because of the availability inside North Korea of portable digital devices and easily hidden memory cards. This is from an unnamed military source. Are you serious about the mice stuff? You know I'm a chow hall connoisseur. And I would not be cool with this scenario. Okay. All right. To my friend who just wrote that, you are eating mice droppings, okay? What you think are spicy peppers? Yeah, bro, you just ingested rat turds. Don't worry, though. Game 7 tonight. You'll enjoy it. Technology is rapidly shifted. We're going to check that out. Let me tell you, that is the biggest... That is the biggest problem in the Middle East. The free flow of information, man. Why do we have a king when nobody else does? Saudi women allowed to drive. Why is that happening? Because if you, and here's the deal, if you seek to prohibit what you can no longer keep them from doing, that's when bad things happen to sitting governments. That's right. That's right. So I want to get to another story, though. All right, so that's very, very interesting. You can find that in Marine Corps Times as well. Check him out. And we'll see if he testifies today. That'll be riveting stuff. You just don't see many of those guys testifying on anything for the fear that somebody's going to, right? Somebody's going to face wash them with, you know, VX nerve agent and kill them in an airport or some shit. Oh, that's right. That's the North Koreans. They do stuff like that. All right. Listen to this bullshit. Okay? Headline. Paris Island drill instructor accused of preying on 3 Muslim recruits. Okay, so this is this gunnery sergeant by the name of, what's his name, Felix? A 3rd Muslim recruit allegedly was abused at Paris Island by former drill instructor, gunnery sergeant Joseph Felix, who was on trial for allegedly hitting and slapping recruits, one of whom jumped to his death after Felix allegedly slapped him in the face. On Tuesday, the prosecution told a military jury that Felix allegedly ordered another Muslim recruit to sit in the dryer, but did not turn the dryer on. Okay, I always thought that was funny. Okay. Even when it got turned on, I thought it was amusing. I didn't consider it hazing. Now, I would consider this hazing, though. Alright? Early one morning, Felix allegedly told Marine recruit Recknhausa, quote, "Hey, ISIS, get in the dryer." And witnesses saw Hawaz climb inside. Felix is also accused of kicking Hawaz in the face. The allegations stem from 2015, around the same time of another Paris Island incident, which is the subject of Training and Education Command investigations. Raheel Siddiqui died on March 18, 2016, when he jumped down a stairwell at Paris Island. Moments earlier, Felix allegedly slapped Siddiqui, who had collapsed on the floor. Felix is also accused of ordering another Muslim recruit to sit in a commercial dryer, turning it on several times. But listen to this. Most of Tuesday's trial dealt with Lance Corporal Amir Burmesh, who said Felix and another drill instructor ordered him to sit inside a commercial dryer and then turned it on three times. When Burmesh arrived at Paris Island in April 2015, he tried to pursue his parents' faith and asked for a copy of the Quran. He testified on Tuesday. Later, his dog tags indicated he was Muslim. During the last week of boot camp, Burmesh said he woke after hearing someone calling out, "Where's the terrorist?" Felix and Sergeant Michael Eldridge allegedly made Burmesh exercise in the shower and then told him to sit in the dryer, Burmesh said. "They asked me if I was affiliated with 9/11, he said. Then they turned the dryer on, Burmesh said. Twice Burmesh was asked if he was, quote, still a Muslim, he said. Only after he said no was he allowed out. On a separate night, Gunnery Sergeant Felix allegedly hogtied Burmesh into a stress position using Burmesh's Marine Corps Martial Arts program belt and then made him simulate cutting another Marine's head off while yelling, "Allah Akbar." You imagine that? Before the night was over, Gunnery Sergeant Felix had allegedly told Burmesh that he had, quote, "been fighting motherfuckers like me," unquote, during his Marine Corps career, and he wanted to mount the heads of Burmesh's family on pikes. Amazing, isn't it? Military Judge Colonel Michael Libretto told jurors that they can recognize that Siddiqui is dead and cannot be a witness in the context of the specific charges against Felix. But he added, quote, "You shall draw no inference from these facts and draw no conclusions from them." That comes on the heels of Felix is accused of maltreatment for slapping Siddiqui as well as calling him a terrorist and asking him if he needed his turban, according to a redacted copy of the charge sheet against him. Felix also has been charged with obstruction of justice for allegedly telling recruits not to discuss Siddiqui's death outside the squad bay. His lawyer, a guy named Bridges, declined to comment when asked by a reporter if Felix had targeted Muslims. Quote, "Gunnery Sergeant Felix has 14 years in the Marine Corps," Bridges told reporters. "He has a wife and four daughters he loves very much. I think that you'll see that he was a good Marine who trained recruits hard with intensity." It's amazing. And again, it goes back to that leadership at the point of confrontation, right? You put all this stuff out. And again, we're not calling somebody glasses or ears, you know, or bucket head or Mardi Gras head because he's got a big giant head, right? Or Fabio, because he likes to take, likes to get out and sun himself, right? None of those, you know, stupid, harmless nicknames that people don't care about. You're talking about when the nation is at war with Islamic fundamentalists, that you're essentially ostracizing a recruit in a helpless situation, and then you're doing this shit to him. Get him up in the middle of the night. Making him simulate cutting the throat of a Marine and telling him, come on, man. So where is everybody else? Asleep at switch? So again, you know, Paris Island, the USS McCain, people not doing what they're supposed to do. In a culture that doesn't like discipline. Why? Why do I have to do that? Why do I have to do that? The barracks are where I live. You don't have any right to come up here and inspect it. Right? And again, so and you wonder, how do you... Well, they're a different generation. They have to be treated different. So now the Marine Corps has been in existence, right, since back in 1775, right? And we've had changes in generations since the damn thing started. But now it's got to be flipped up on its head, and you can't be held accountable, and your shit can't be inspected because you don't come from a culture that gets that? Well, maybe you should be taught that. And maybe you should learn that. Because there's more than a few parallels between the things that have gone on at Paris Island, the pissing on corpses, the yanking people out of their homes and shooting them, and being so fucked up that you can't even sound a collision arm or general quarters. Undisciplined, failure to intervene when you're supposed to, turning your back. And again, and we've done these shows before, but in all these cases, to include the Navy collisions, there's officers and senior enlisted sailors and Marines standing there while this shit's going on. And nobody intervenes to do the right thing. It's amazing. So again, I think time of incredible soul searching for the United States military. We talked about a crisis in leadership that we have in our government. Don't think it's confined to the government. Time to take a hard look. You want to make it easier? And again, now we reshuffle the crucible so we can hold their hand after the crucible and spend more quality time so they'll understand. You know, let me just tell you what I have found works in my life. And I'll say this relative to raising kids. You can fucking talk to them till you're fucking blue in your fucking face. And guess what? They don't give a shit. I take that back. Some might. For a small percentage of the population, they might intellectually take that on board and say, you know what? That guy's really smart. I'm going to do what he says. But the vast majority under the bell curve, and then there's a segment at the other end that they don't listen to shit anyway, right? And then there's the vast majority. What do they understand? Do they understand when you say it to them? No. What? Oh, yeah. No, they don't. What do they understand? You say it, they don't do it, and then guess what happens? There's consequences. There's consistent consequences that modify behavior over time. And that's what works. So this generation is that much different because of cell phones. Well, wait a minute. What about the generation that got a phone in their home? Didn't that make them different too? What about the generation that got TV? Didn't that fundamentally change the world? How about the generation that got the internet? So this is all bullshit. You have to embrace discipline. And I'll tell you what, the problem of the American military is, as an institution, we're making excuses. That letter about all that shit up at West Point, what was that about? That was about discipline. won't enforce our own standards. And you wonder how you get here. You have a sergeant helping a gunnery sergeant fuck with a recruit, tie him into a stress position, and then have him simulate slitting the throat of another recruit. You got to be shitting me, man. You got to be absolutely positively shitting me. And let me guess. Was this the first time? Okay, so everybody who's listening to the program, whenever we see this shit, right? What do we know? Is it the first time? Quote McNamara. No, it's not. If they've done it now, they've done it in the past. This is not them sticking their toe in it and, oh, it just happened. So, again, I think that the Secretary of Defense is going to have, you know, a fair amount to say. And again, I mean, rats, to the extent that the commissary in 29 Palms has to be closed, who the fuck is in charge of that? Rats eating the produce. That's how it was found out. And then they look even further, right? There's rats in the deli. That's right, where you're getting your pastrami sandwich. They're having a track meet at night. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Where you got your potato salad? Yeah. Rats in that son of a bitch. And now you have E. coli at MCRD. I'm not saying, I'm kind of just saying, that there's a crisis of institutional acceptance of standards and the enforcements of standards. And that's what makes us different. That's what's always made us different. Is that embracing of discipline where others will not. Shit, you could argue that that's what saved Korea. The Marine Corps' continual knuckle-dragging devotion to discipline. Stop explaining so much shit. Do it because I fucking told you to. How about that?
Oh, got it.
Yeah, no shit.
Oh, well, you can't talk to them like that, and they don't respond to that.
Well, they better learn, goddammit. Because this, they're different bullshit. Everybody's different. Oh, they're post 9/11. They're millennials. I don't give a shit. Get on the yellow footprints. Do what you get told to do.
All right, we'll check more news.
Yeah. Whoa, where did that come from? I'm not sure. More of Almarine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. Battlemug.com.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOC community should be aware of.
The Global SOC Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsocfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Think about it. Think about it. All right, if you're just joining us, stay tuned to the program because you'll hear the press conference that was held in New York City post-event as the mayor, the governor, chief of police, and FBI all gave a little briefing. And I think most informative is the timeline. Bottom line on the timeline. Walks into a Home Depot, rents a truck at 2:06. At 3 o'clock, he's driving over people in lower Manhattan. Of the 8 people killed, 6 of them are not Americans. 5 Argentinians, and I think 1 either German or 1 Belgian citizen. All right, so that's that. Also, if you're just tuning in, the Navy has released investigations of USS McCain and USS Fitzgerald. You can go to the All Marine Radio website right now, and you can click on, there's a link there that takes you to the investigation, directly to the investigation PDF. So, yeah, by all means, if you're looking for that, if you like reading stuff like that, go ahead. So, yeah, go to the podcast page, and there's a little headline there. Navy releases collision report for USS Fitzgerald and USS John S. McCain collisions, and then you'll see the hyperlink there. Click on that, and ba-boom, you'll go right to it. Print it out, get your highlighter, black pen, red pen, and go ahead and begin to annotate that. And there you have it. Mac, will you play that again? I love that quote. Sure, what the hell, right?
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
We'll listen to that whole little exchange, okay? Because there's a little bit about this that we're talking about. The desire, and again, let me tell you what, if you're familiar with A Few Good Men, the story was sensationalized. The story was actually a blanket party for a substandard Marine falling asleep on post, not doing his job, and he got his ass beat by his fellow Marines. That's the true story. Okay? Nobody got murdered. Okay? So Hollywood sensationalizes the story. So, so if I have time to... it's a train. Hey, soul sister. If I have time, I'll go ahead and I'll play that. Okay, so that's two. There's a whole series of articles that have been written. If you go to Marine Corps Times, there's an article written by a guy named Jeff Zizelewitz, something like that. It has an infographic about the collision of the John McCain. Pretty interesting. It only runs about a minute. And, right, shows you where Singapore, gives you general orientation, shows you the lane into Singapore, blah, 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 blah. It shows the intended route of the McCain. Gives you the McCain's location and heading and speed at 0514, when evidently, it has some kind of issue with its steering, okay? So it shows you the track. And there's a series of things that happen. So CO orders transfer of thrust control. Destroyer enters controlled shipping lanes a minute later. Still, it's going 20 knots, heading of 230. The Allnick MC, right, is in the same shipping lane, and it is on as they're both moving parallel in the same direction. Okay, it is on the starboard side, forward. Okay, so for those of you who don't understand port and starboard, all right, it is forward on the left hand side of the McCain. Okay? When it at 0520 in the morning, it is 742 yards away from it. Okay? Fair distance, right? 7 football fields. Not in terms of turning ships, but again, they're on parallel courses. That's important. Okay? A minute later, the McCain suffers its steering loss. Okay? Again, 18.6 knots, heading of 2.29 degrees, so it's come 1 degree to the port side. The way I used to remember port and starboard is LP, used to be the kind of records, the vinyl records. LP was the record. So that's left is port. Okay. R and S are consecutive letters in the alphabet, I think. P, Q, R, S, T, U, V. Yeah. Right, starboard. They're right next door to each other. Yeah, there you go. Stupid is as stupid does. Anyway, so Ford on the port side. Now, a minute later, right, the Allnick MC is 582 knots. The Allnick MC is going slow. It's going 9.6 knots. The McCain is coming up on the right side of the Allnick MC, and it's behind it by 600 yards. And it's going twice the speed. They lose steering, and they begin to turn to the left, which will take them in front of the Allnick MC. This is the McCain. Speed is now 18.4 knots a minute later. The propulsion system had a malfunction. The port shaft slowed down. The starboard shaft continued to turn at 20 knots. So now we're turning to the port side. A minute later, there's 400 yards between the two ships as the McCain going faster begins this crescent in front of the Allnick MC. McCain's speed is now 15.8 knots. Less than a minute later, at 0523, they collide. No collision alarm, no general quarter. All right. So you can see that schematic. So there's a number of good schematics, and I mean we've talked about you know how this happened, right? So the CO ordered the transfer of thrust at 0519. So the CO is on the bridge of the McCain. At 0519. And look, if you don't know how to operate the backup systems, and you're not qualified in terms of, you know, when you have a difference in terms of the response of two different propeller shafts, how you do that, you can at least hit the collision alarm, yes? No. I guess not. Okay, so all that's there. If I was you, I would check it out, if you're interested, certainly. We talked about this a little bit ago, and the headline was, top U.S. general says there's 4,000 American troops in Syria. The Pentagon says there's only 500. What? We just went through this numbers thing, and Mattis said, no, we're telling the truth. So here you go. Hold on, maybe not. Because, you know, we always have to get the commercial. This one, a Facebook commercial that's going to end in 10 seconds. Facebook, Google are going to, at some point, pay the price for dominating the entire planet. Nobody allows that kind of aggression to stand forever.
Right. How many U.S. troops are there in Iraq and Syria right now?
Okay, now, this is the Pentagon briefing. He's on a television monitor, obviously, probably at CENTCOM or someplace like that, a different part of the world. So the question gets asked, you have the DOD spokesman at the podium, good-looking suit, red tie as always, and then you have the general, Army Major General James B. Girard, who leads the U.S. Special Operations Task Force in Syria and Iraq. So, here you go. Head down. Gulps.
We have approximately 5,000, it's a little over 4,000 U.S. troops in Syria right now. That are supporting efforts in against Daesh and supporting the SDF.
What? It keeps going.
You have 4,000 U.S. troops in Syria, because I thought that publicly, previously, the number was 1,000. So this would be four times, well, it was actually 500, but you're saying 4,000 U.S. troops are currently in Syria?
And the reporter, he's got a little smile on his face like, what the fuck? Okay, and then the general, he looks down, and he's going to speak right now, and he's like, hold on.
I'm sorry, I misspoke there. There are approximately 500 troops in Syria.
And everybody's laughing, right? Listen.
Because I think the accurate number is 1,000.
Why don't you ask the question if you know the answer?
Oh, I knew that.
Okay.
Awkward. Okay, now, and so now what you have the media people, I think you can see Barbara Starr sitting up front with her sweater on. They're sitting there. They're not saying a word. The Pentagon spokesman is standing there with his hands clasped at the podium. And the general, he's standing there. He's not saying a word now. This is awesome.
Here, Idris, as you know, the FML is 503 in Syria and 5262 in Iraq.
What's the actual number? Troops.
FML is 503 in Syria and 5262 in Iraq. All right, next.
Nice going, General. What the hell? Hold on. Now, it's 90 seconds. I'll just play it straight through now. This is awesome.
How many?
How the hell does a general not know how many goddamn troops are where? He's got a card in front of him. That's what the G1, the J1, the S1, whatever the hell you call this shit in special operations. That's what they do. All right. The PAO comes. Okay, we got his card. Yeah, okay. You got the standard answers. Okay, DOD talking points here. All right, sir. There you go. Got it. Thanks. I'm ready. Let's go. Let's do this. Okay, turn it on. Here you go.
How many U.S. troops are there in Iraq and Syria right now?
So there, we have a approximately 55,000 Syrian, or 5,000. I'm sorry, I think it's a little over 4,000 U.S. troops in Syria right now that are supporting efforts in against Daesh and supporting the SDF.
So you have 4,000 U.S. troops in Syria, because I thought that publicly previously the number was 1,000. So this would be four times, well, it was actually 500, but you're saying 4,000 U.S. troops are currently in Syria?
I'm sorry, I misspoke there. There are approximately 500 troops in Syria.
Because I think the accurate number is 1,000.
Why don't you ask the question if you know the answer?
Well, I knew that. Okay.
Cricket.
Here, Idris, as you know, the FML is 503 in
FML
in Syria and 5262 in Iraq.
FML 503 in Syria. O would be on the ground. FML. I'm not sure what FML, but that's us. So the DOD spokesman. He bombs that in. So here it is one more time.
In Iraq.
Oh, hold on. Didn't rewind it far enough.
As you know, the FML is 503 in Syria and 5262 in Iraq.
Way to go, General. 5262 in Iraq, 503 in Syria. Let's get our numbers straight. Who's your PAO, for God's sake?
FML is 503 in Syria and 5262 in Iraq. All right. Kasim Alary.
Next question. Nothing to see here. General just screwed it up. And it happens. General screws shit up. But that's not really the one that you want to have screwed up. Okay. Let me just go. I haven't even got to the early bird yet. Let's see. Top five stories. One is the Navy, the story about the Navy investigations being released. Two is a story in the Washington Post that says a Syrian baby starves in a Damascus suburb. Doctors say more deaths will follow. Next story we've already talked about is 4,000 U.S. troops in Syria? Question mark. Was that just a typo? The fourth story is the New York City story. And then the fifth story is, again, one we've been monitoring with anticipation, and that is Kurdish crisis imperils U.S. anti-terror fight in Syria. So it's the whole Kurdish thing is a big deal. And, you know, again, Kurds have been a good ally of ours. But do the Kurdish self-interest, do they conflict with American long-term interest in the region? Anyway, so check that out. That is an interesting article. I perused a little bit of it. We already talked about the president not going to the DMZ. I you know what, I think I bristle a little bit about John McCain's lectures these days. Yeah, John McCain, Americans are asleep to the necessity of our leadership. You know, Senator, we're not, we weren't asleep to the necessity of your oversight of the Department of Defense as it's been underfunded and gutted. So, in my opinion, you're kind of skewing towards George Bush for me. Shut up and go away. Appreciate your service. Thanks for your service. Now go away. All right, and then, not a good day relative to the news. And thankfully, the program's come to a close. This thing repeats itself momentarily. Let me tell you, the stuff coming out of Paris Island is a joke. It goes back to leadership at the point of confrontation. It goes back to understanding what is special trust and confidence. Is it with Congress? No, it's not. It's with the American people. They send you their kids. They send you their husbands. They send you their daughters. You're supposed to take care of them. You're supposed to train them. You're supposed to be hard on them. If they don't measure up, you're supposed to throw them out. But you're not supposed to abuse them. That's what special trust and confidence is. That is that bond. And when that guy did it, the fact that nobody stood up to him, that's bullshit. Right? The Navy's so fucked up that they have a mechanical issue in a shipping lane, and for whatever reason, they're not at general quarters, even though the CO is on the bridge of the ship. Why not? Guys have worked hard enough. We don't need to be in general quarters in the Moluccan Straits. Come on. Nothing ever happens. That's all bullshit. Oh, we just found out why we're at general quarters in the Moluccan Straits, because shit does happen. Stupid ass. The question is, are any of these guys going to get charged and go to the brig? Being relieved, that should be the least of their worries. So let me get this straight. You're in this position. You have an issue with your propulsion system. That happens. You're not at general quarters. As the ship begins to turn towards the port side, what do you see there? You see a skyscraper with lights on. Right? Boop, boop, boop. And I haven't read the whole investigation. Boop. So, what is the first thing you do? Sound the collision alarm, sound general quarters. And at least give them a minute to get their asses up that ladder well. And maybe not get crushed in their racks. That fucked up? I guess so. And the shit at Paris Island? Are you shitting me? And again, I will guarantee you that they did it to other people and those people won't come forward. Because that's just the way it is. These are the people that have come and said, yeah, I will testify. Other people say, I want no part of it.
Thanks, Danny. I love Washington.
Excuse me.
We'll end on this.
I beg your pardon?
I'm not through with my examination.
Tom Cruise is a punk.
Sit down.
Yeah, a JG might say that to a Marine colonel in some kind of legal sit down. I don't think so, son.
Colonel.
What's that?
I'd appreciate if he would address me as colonel or sir. I believe I've earned it.
Defense counsel will address the witness as colonel or sir.
I don't know what the hell kind of unit you're running here.
And the witness will address this court as judge or your honor. I'm quite certain I've earned it. Take your seat, Colonel.
What do you want to discuss now? My favorite color?
Colonel, the 6 a.m. flight was the first one off the base?
Yes.
There wasn't a flight that left 7 hours earlier and landed at Andrews Air Force Base at 2 a.m.?
Lieutenant, I think we've covered this, haven't we?
Your Honor, these are the Tower Chief's logs from both Guantanamo Bay and Andrews Air Force Base. Guantanamo log lists no flight that left at 11 p.m. and the Andrews log lists no flight that landed.
Okay, now, I want you to pretend that we're not talking about somebody getting killed because that's not what happened in this incident. Okay, Marines had a blanket party. Okay? And back in the day, that shit used to get suggested. You all need to handle this shit. What did that mean? In fact, that happened when I was at OCS, we had a kid named Mitchell, the creature. And the creature was struggling, man. And his nickname was Creature because he had acne. Yeah. Tall black kid. Went to, what is it, Morehouse in Atlanta? Yeah. And I'm an M, right? Mitchell's rack right next to mine. Mitchell always getting yelled at. All right. And so, guy who went, he's prior enlisted, right? And, you know, they're kings. He was like aviation supply or some bullshit MOS, right? But he's Chesty Puller in our platoon. First name is Fred. I won't say his last name. So Fred gets us all together in our squad and say, hey, we have to do something about Mitchell. Like, okay, what? How do we help him? No. Do y'all know what a blanket party is? Like, and I didn't. I was like, no, I don't know. Other guys were like, yeah, I know. And so he starts saying, and I was standing there. I'm Joe Schmo, right? I'm like Joe jacked up candidate like everybody else. And I'm listening. I'm like, we're going to do what? I said, I'm not doing that. I said, why don't we help him instead? Hey, he's not with the program. He's not trying hard. He's trying hard. Trust me. This is a little much for him. So I'll help him. I'm not doing that bullshit, though. It's like, well, you know, one of the sergeant instructors took me aside and said, we need to handle this. Right? So, anyway, the basis for this, the code red. Okay, so what I want you, so you have non-hackers, you have non-performers, and except they don't get killed. All right, so that's the framework for this.
And at 2 a.m., I'd like to admit them as defense exhibits Alpha and Bravo.
I don't understand. You're admitting evidence of a flight that never existed.
Well, we believe it did, sir.
Oh.
Defense will be calling Airman Cecil O'Malley and Airman Anthony Rodriguez. They were working the ground crew at Andrews at 2 a.m. on the 7th.
Your Honor, these men weren't on the list.
Rebuttal witnesses, Your Honor, are called specifically to refute testimony offered under direct examination.
I'll allow the witnesses.
This is ridiculous.
It is.
Colonel, a moment ago, check the tower logs, for Christ's sake.
Okay, now what we're going to pretend is this is an argument for people that have to perform and defend the country against people that want to say, no, all the rest of this shit is all necessary.
Well, we'll get to the airmen in just a minute, sir. A moment ago, you said that you ordered Lieutenant Kendrick to tell his men that Santiago wasn't to be touched.
That's right.
And Lieutenant Kendrick was clear on what you wanted?
Crystal.
Uh-oh.
Any chance Lieutenant Kendrick ignored the order?
Ignored the order?
Any chance he forgot about it?
No.
Any chance Lieutenant Kendrick left your office and said, the old man is wrong?
This scene is awesome.
No.
And Jack Nicholson's awesome in it.
When Lieutenant Kendrick spoke to the platoon and ordered them not to touch Santiago, any chance they ignored him?
You ever served in an infantry unit, son?
Hell no.
No, sir.
Ever served in a forward area?
Are you kidding me?
No, sir.
Ever put your life in another man's hands?
No, he's a punk.
Asked him to put his life in yours?
No, sir.
We follow orders, son. We follow orders or people die. It's that simple. Are we clear?
Yes, sir.
Are we clear? Crystal.
Colonel, I have just one more question before I call Airman O'Malley and Airman Rodriguez.
No, here it goes.
If you gave an order that Santiago wasn't to be touched, and your orders are always followed, then why would Santiago be in danger? Why would it be necessary to transfer him off the base?
Santiago was a substandard Marine. He was being transferred.
That's not what you said. You said he was being transferred because he was in grave danger.
That's correct.
You said he was in danger. I said grave danger. You said, is there
any... I recall what I said.
I can have the court reporter read back to you.
I know what I said. I don't have to have it read back to me like I'm...
Write two orders. Colonel?
Sometimes men take matters into their own hands.
No, sir. You made it clear just a moment ago that your men never take matters in their own hands. Your men follow orders or people die. So Santiago shouldn't have been in any danger at all, should he have, Colonel?
You snotty little bastard.
Your Honor, I'd like to ask for a recess.
I'd like an answer to the question, Judge.
The court will wait for an answer.
If Lieutenant Kendrick gave an order that Santiago wasn't to be touched, then why did he have to be transferred? Colonel? Lieutenant Kendrick ordered the code red, didn't he? Because that's what you told Lieutenant Kendrick to do.
Object!
And when it went bad, you cut these guys loose!
Your Honor,
you have marked this inside the bony transfer!
Your Honor, you doctored the logbook!
You coerced the doctor!
Consider yourself in contempt!
Colonel Jessup, did you order the code red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled to.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth! Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's going to do it? You? You, Lieutenant Weinberg? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago, and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know, that Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
Did you order the code red?
Yeah.
I did the job.
Did you order the code red?
You're goddamn right I did. You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
How awesome is that? Yeah, that the whole you want answers thing, that's just the prelude to it, man. The best is after that. And I would tell you that, in my opinion, that little exchange... We need to have that discussion, man, because we don't want, you know, everything's different these days, right? Wrong. They need to know why. You got to tell them. You got to, you know, and we need more time. Really? Why don't we focus on leadership? Right? Focus on leadership and discipline. Grow them into that shit. And, oh, yeah, they're different. They're as different as everybody fucking else is different. Okay? No different than anybody else. They need to be led.
That's not. That I don't know who wrote that shit. I should track them down and get them on. And that's all. That's good. That's quality stuff. Anyway, keep the people in New York City who have family, two American families, five Argentinian families, and one Belgian family. Keep them, obviously, in your thoughts and prayers. Don't be afraid to sit down with your kids and say, hey, I don't care how old they are. I mean, if they're like toddlers, probably not. But, you know, 10 years old, they're going to go out and go places and stuff like that. A, look for things that look out of place. B, you see somebody that looks nervous and doing different things, tell me. C, if you hear somebody yell Allah Akbar, run. Run. If you hear somebody start shooting, run. Don't get on the ground. Don't listen to people when they say, get down. Run. Get your ass out of there. Okay. All right. So with all that said, this program repeats itself momentarily. Don't touch that dial. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Looking tomorrow, the highest defector ever from North Korea testifying in front of Congress today. So we might hear that tomorrow. I think that would be interesting to hear. And again, you know, here on All Marine Radio, we like long format because instead of you reading something that some jackass wrote, designed to be clickbait, you could actually hear the source of it. Yeah. Helps you get to the truth. Have a good one on a Wednesday. All Souls Day if you're a Catholic. Don't be afraid to get your ass to church. Boom. Yeah, you heard me. All Marine Radio over and out.